I'm Laura Harper Lake.
And I'm Sarah Reitzman, and you're listening to Creative Guts. Hey friends, happy Wednesday. Today's episode was recorded in Stratham, New Hampshire in the AG Fitness Studio. We talked with Angela Garcia, who is the founder and director of AG Fitness.
Angela's story is an inspiring one, and her energy and passion is incredible.
Kind of makes you want to dance, right?
It does, which I've been doing there for 7-8 years now. I've been there a while.
I haven't done Zumba in years, but like the number of people I surround myself with who are way into group fitness classes who try to then talk me into doing it is, it's a sign.
It's awesome. She doesn't do Zumba anymore. She has a class called Club Cardio, but it's very similar in that it's got tons of different influences of music and dance styles, and she is amazing. I think this is an endearing term. She's a spitfire.
Oh yeah.
Like she's a little rocket. Like she's just got all this energy and all this passion, and she just believes in everyone, and she's not trying to sell anything, even though it's her business. It's genuinely what she cares so much about, and it makes me so happy, even though I probably look crazy when I dance there. It just makes me like bloom. I feel overjoyed, and I've never left feeling bad or ugh, you know, like I always feel very empowered.
Yeah, you can tell she really loves it too.
Yeah.
I won't spoil this because you'll get to hear about it in the episode, but Laura and I did get to do a live, pretty freaking cool show with her.
Yeah,
that's all awesome. You're gonna know. So Angela is a former professional dancer, choreographer, and a nationally certified personal trainer, also a Olympic trainer.
So we hope you enjoy this episode with the vivacious Angela Garcia.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for having me.
At your so own excited. Studio.
I'm glad you guys are here. This is a totally different setup than what we're usually doing.
I know. Have you done a podcast before?
I haven't. You guys are my first podcast.
Yay!
That's so special.
That's wicked awesome. Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
This place is beautiful.
Thank you.
How long has it been open?
So we've been here for just over a year. We've been in Stratham for 8, but this new studio is brand new. It's my baby. I love it. I love being here. I love the people that come here. Can't ask for anything more.
Having the lobby is incredible because prior to that, we were down in another unit that didn't. And so when we were waiting for the next class or session, it was cold out.
I can't believe, we made it that long with that setup. I just would look outside and people were like shivering, waiting to get into class. I'm like, okay, in our next life, we will have a lobby.
Yeah. Well, it's awesome. It looks beautiful. It turned out
great. Thank you. We're happy.
So Angela, tell us about your history as a creative and sort of how you started out dancing and when you sort of discovered that this was your passion in life.
So, I think I knew from early on that I was a creative and a dancer since I was a little girl. I was the girl that was always putting on the shows, that was always orchestrating theatrical, moments in the house. And my parents gifted me with dance lessons, and I was beside myself with like, this is what I was meant to do. Like, what a gift from my parents to do that. And not only that I love to dance, but one other thing too is that I loved to perform. I'm a performer. Mm-hmm. My mom always says this story that the first time she went to watch me perform, I was young. And the dance piece actually started facing the back and we turned to the audience. And she said that she vividly remembers waiting in the audience and saying, when she turns around and sees all these people, I don't know what's going to happen. She might freak out. And she said, as soon as I turned around, my face was like, yes.
It's showtime.
It's showtime. So I think, really deep down, I knew from the very beginning. And so it was just kind of, I'm so thankful to my parents to giving me the outlet to be able to explore that. Yeah.
Did you keep taking dance classes and keep expanding and growing?
I did. I started with like ballet, which is typical for dancers, baby mm-hmm. ballet. And then I moved on to, jazz and tap and modern. And then when I got really serious with it, I went ahead and tried out for a dance company and danced with them professionally for several years. So it just kind of grew very organically. And we had access to great dancers and choreographers where I was in Atlanta at the time. So super blessed, honestly.
Wow. Yeah. And when you're at that phase in a dance company, or even when you're, you know, maybe teen years doing lessons, are you creating dances yourself yet? Has that kind of stirred anything in you yet?
So, you know, always, right?
Yeah.
Even from a very young age, you know, there was definitely that creative insight where it's like, oh, well, this should look like this, right? I think you guys, you're nodding because I think you can relate,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
It's kind of like the ability to frame exactly what you want, right? The moment where art happens, it's like, I framed it just like this.
Yeah.
And so I definitely had the desire for that from the beginning. And then I felt like, okay, wait, I have to get a lot of technique and a lot of stuff under my belt, but on the side, I would do my thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then really early on, I was given an opportunity to choreograph for the dance company at a very young age. I was 14. And so, yeah.
Oh, amazing. I thought we were talking 20s or something here.
Right.
You were in a dance company when you were 14.
I was going to ask if you got to do any like dance stuff in high school, like if your school had a dance team, but forget that question, like out the window. Yeah.
Wow.
No, I started really young. And so by 14, I was dancing professionally and even, you know, doing some choreography and whatnot, so...
Does that involve touring or going?
It did, yeah. In different ways, you know. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a ballet company. I danced with the Atlanta Jazz Theater, and we toured in different ways. We took kind of like the show on the road for different events. We danced a lot for local events in Atlanta. For example, the Martin Luther King Festival every year, mm-hmm. the dance company would go and present pieces there. Or if they hired us in Alabama to do some sort of a corporate situation, we do that too. So there was that kind of touring that we did, you know, pretty regularly.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how long were you dancing professionally with this group?
So I was there for several years. I started, you know, very young, like I said, and then my parents moved back to Puerto Rico. And at that time, I left the company. I was in high school at this time. And the ballet company that they sent me to, I just wasn't thrilled with it. Mm. I was like, this is not my people. These aren't my people. This is not my place. And it just kind of sucked the desire to do the creative work in that space. And so I said, I think I'm going to quit. And my mom was like, you can't quit. You've been doing this too long. It's so much a part of you, but you don't really ever quit. You know, I was just quitting that particular setup and that particular scenario. So I've always kept dancing in one way or another, you know, in high school, once I had completely moved out of the Atlanta Jazz Theater and had left Ballet Concierto. I went ahead and I became involved with like a dance team at my school, and I led that. And so it was kind of an iteration of that. And taught other girls to do this kind of thing. And then now I have a fitness studio and I do dance fitness classes. So I'll always be a dancer. You know, I'll always be a choreographer. It's just a part of who I am. Doesn't
Absolutely.
Matter what I'm doing.
Yeah. You know? And I mean, yeah, you're creating these very awesome, fun routines for your students. It's really great. I mean, I feel like I've learned a lot more about dance just from taking a fitness class rather than a dance class, quote unquote, you know.
Right. I think the problem with a dance class, and this is kind of goes to my impatient personality, it's like, I just want to do it.
Yes.
Like, don't tell me about it and explain it to me and bring out a whiteboard. It's like, just let me do it.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's the beauty of dance fitness, that you just get to class and you're going.
You're thrown right in. Mm-hmm. I remember the first class I came to, which was probably 7 or 8 years ago now, and being in the back row, of course, and just being really spooked, like, I don't know what I'm doing. And there's no, you know, you give minimal, like, we're going to the right now, we're, you know, doing this move. But it's, I've brought, I don't know, probably 5 or 6 different friends over the years to try it out.
Yeah.
And only a couple have consistently done it, because at the end, a few folks are like, I'm just too intimidated. I don't know the moves. I'm like, I didn't know them for a year. And
right.
even still, there's new stuff every month. I think that's also what's great about it. It's never boring.
Yes.
There's always new stuff, but you have all the puzzle pieces of, you know, the stuff you know, and you build on it, but it's shown in a different way. So it's always fun and exciting.
Definitely. You know, we're dealing with people who are not professional dancers, you know, and so you need to give them enough foundation, you know, like I always say, it's kind of like choreographing for this setup, particularly, right? A dance fitness class is a little bit like rearranging a lobby. You have the same pieces of furniture, but you just kind of move them around.
Mm-hmm.
you know? And so that way people know what they're doing, right? Because you are kind of thrown in, you know? It's kind of like I always tell people, when you get to class, imagine it's a moving train. You just got to get a little momentum and jump on.
Yeah. And as long as you're moving your butt and sweating
absolutely.
A bit.
Absolutely. Like- We always say that, you know? It's like, we want you to have fun and get sweaty. If you do both of those things, then you've met all of our goals for you.
Yeah. And there are people probably who come in and like want to get all the moves right. But the beauty of it is that you don't have to necessarily.
Yeah, you really don't. You really don't. It's really about enjoying the camaraderie of the group, mm-hmm. the music, moving to the music in a particular way. I think that that's what it's all about.
Here's a question I just thought of. Mm. Do you ever have to fake it on stage? Like you're always happy. You're always like exuding joy miraculously, and you can't have a good day every day. So do you have to push it? And if you do you eventually kind of, does moving make you happy? So then it sort of is a self-therapy?
Yes. Yes and yes. Both of those answers are yes. So do I have to fake it? Yes. I think that's part of being a performer. You know, I talk to my staff a lot and I say, you know, the people that come here, this is the highlight of their day mm-hmm. many times. And so they really don't want to hear about the flat tire that we got and the rude bank teller and, you know, the 7 problems we had today. They just want to walk in and it's like, that was their day. They don't want to hear about your day.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think as a gift to the people that come here, we put on our best selves. We put on our most positive selves mm-hmm. and, you know, really put on a show in a way. And so there are days where you really have to do that. I remember years ago, my son had a really serious bike accident that day, and I was teaching that night, and he had just kind of like settled down. He was comfortable. And so I thought, like, should I go teach my class? I'm like, well, what am I going to do here? Like, I'm completely a mess. And I cried all the way to class, completely bawled my eyes out because it was so traumatic for me. And then when I got there, I was like, oh, hey, like nobody knew. Nobody had any clue that we had like gone through that whole thing. Wow. But, you know, that was my gift to my class, you know. Like, and it's a gift to you too, yeah. you know, for myself, because like you were saying, like once you start moving, you feel better always.
Yes.
You know, we are kinesthetic beings. The way that we're designed as humans, when you look at our design, we're meant for movement. Mm-hmm. And so there's a reason why we feel good when we do that. It's because we were meant to do that.
That's a great way of looking at it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty, you feel good when you move. I mean, it makes sense.
Do you then ever have to push yourself physically? Like, let's say like you show up and you're like, damn, I'm freaking sore. I don't know if I can do these moves.
100%. I have come in. And of course, you know, I'm a little bit deeper into my career at this point. But when I was a younger instructor and kind of establishing my business, I remember spending the whole day in bed with a fever and dying and crawling out of bed.
Oh my God.
To put on my Lycra leggings, take some Tylenol, and get to class to be like, oh, there we go. I mean, there are times when it is a show. It really is.
Wow.
But I'm like committed to my classes. I don't just like miss. I'm, you know, for me to like miss a class.
You've lost a limb or something.
It has
pretty
to
big.
Be something pretty big, as I've given you 2 examples now.
Yeah.
And I still showed up.
Yep.
Wow. And so, yeah. So definitely physically too, you know. And also, I feel like I'm modeling what I'm encouraging my class to do, right? We're all here working at our own levels and mm-hmm. doing our best work. And so I can't be up there and kind of like half-assing it. I have to really show them that, like, here, I'm sweating and I'm giving you my best effort mm-hmm. too. Like, we're all in it together. And it might all look different. What you're doing might look different from what I'm doing. This is my best. This is your best. But we're all in it together.
I'm a solid level 2. I'll just say right now, which is medium
I
level.
I like it.
Beautiful. Once in a while, a 3. Once in a while, a 1, but usually a 2.
Right. And don't you feel, Laura, that it depends on the day sometimes?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I have like a neck thing going on. So some days I can't jump. I can't, you know, so I will definitely downgrade it to level 1 just to make sure that if it's flaring up, I'm not pushing it. And then some days I feel fantastic and I just go all out and I'm a 2.5 to a 3.
I love it. Feels, I love the 0.5.
Well, I'm just not capable physically of a 3 yet.
Yes,
sometimes.
You are. You are, and it's in you. The potential is there.
Yes.
So you just build up to that.
Yeah. You'll get there someday. I feel it. It'll happen.
It will happen. Yeah, definitely.
But some of your kicks are really high.
That's that all that dancing background.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure.
It's so fun. It is, you know, like you said, seeing someone up there super pumped and just really putting on a show. I've gone to a lot of other dance fitness classes and I've never felt this kind of energy from the instructors and the class. Like, it's like ping ponging off of all of us.
That's right. I think that's right. You know, it truly is. You know, I always say we recycle the energy, and it's the instructor's job to get it started, right? We throw it out, people will throw it back, and it's just continual recycling of really positive energy. That's the reason why people come, you know? It's like, listen, we can work out anywhere. You can go to your basement and pull out some old rusty weights, but it's like the people that come here, they want an experience. They want an experience that feels a little bit like magic. Like, I don't know what just happened, but it was amazing, you know? And so that's what we're doing. But it has a lot to do with that energy that's recycled, that high level of energy. There's just endorphins, there's positivity, there's movement. And so then it's magic.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah.
You want to come now?
You like describe it so beautifully.
I do feel that passionately about it. I really do.
We're gonna bring you to one.
Come on, Sarah.
For years, I thought I hated exercise because I hated like going to Planet Fitness and using the machines or lifting weights. Like, just, I don't know. I didn't understand what I was doing or why I was doing it. And it didn't feel like inspiring. And as soon as I started doing exercises that felt more like holistic, I liked exercising, and I thought, oh, that's so weird. I had no idea.
Yeah, definitely. I always tell people that I don't really like to exercise in every case either. You know, like what I just explained, like if it means going into a small room and getting out some weights by myself, like it does nothing for me at all. And so it's not the exercise itself that I find compelling. It's the experience that's created that I find compelling, you know, like I'm just, you know, and we use this a lot in our business, you know, it's for people who are unwilling to compromise with fitness. It's like, it needs to check a lot of boxes for me. If it's just physical, I'm probably going to be like, eh, it's fine. You know, I'm going to go for a bike ride, or I'm going to, you know, lift some weights or whatever. But it has to be physical. It has to be social. It has to be emotional. It has to be mental and spiritual. If you hit those five boxes, now I'm in. Now I'm in.
Yes. And, you know, the reason you're on this podcast is because I feel like the mental, spiritual, emotional, like we're activating the creativity within us to do these moves, to actually, you know, we're using our brains, we're thinking. And I feel like every class or every other class that I come to, usually there's one song where there's like a breakdown and you're like, all right, do your own moves. And
totally.
I wanted to ask you, which I love doing that, you know, like playing the trumpet or playing the instruments was the most recent one. And I loved that. Do you, when you look out on the crowd, do you see, like, is it comfortability versus creativity? Like, are some people just too nervous to break out the xylophone and drums or, you know?
Well, the first thing I see, and people ask me this all the time, you must look out and be like, oh my gosh, what is happening here? You know? And I'm like, no, no, I really just see beauty. Yeah. I really do.
Yeah.
But I do see kind of varying levels of comfort. You know, there's some people who are like, oh my gosh, I cannot wait for this track to be over. This has like a, like a do your own thing for 5 seconds. And it's like the worst thing I can ever think of. And other people are like, this is my moment. Spotlight, please.
Yeah.
You know, so I do see, you know, the different kind of ways that people perceive that kind of opportunity. But I really do think that we make this space welcoming in the way that it's like, hey, whatever you do is exactly what we want to see. I just want to let you know that before you come into class, whatever you've got, that's exactly what we need, so that you walk in and you're just like, I'm perfect for this. I already got the part.
Yeah, there's no intimidation of like, oh, these people all know what they're doing, they're gonna look at me and judge me, because that's what everyone fears is judgment. You know,
definitely.
I don't feel that here at all.
We definitely, as a staff, we model that. I think we model that well, and we encourage our participants, you know, and encourage even each other, like the staff. Like I will always be like, "Did you guys see what you know Jen did today? Did you see?" And so it just fosters that spirit of encouragement and we're awesome. You're awesome. This is so fun. Thanks for coming. You know,
yeah,
that kind of thing. But in regards to the creativity piece, right, to go kind of to the heart of why we're here, a lot of people don't even know that they have a yearning to be creative, right? And then they have these opportunities where they're allowed to kind of express themselves creatively like that, and it lights something up in them. And they're like, I never knew that about myself. And it's like, oh my gosh, I saw that as soon as you walked in.
Yeah.
You know? And so giving people the permission to safely move and create with their body something beautiful is like another super gift.
I mean, that changes life right there. You know, oh, I never knew I could do that. And now I'm doing it twice a week, you know? Yeah. And
Definitely.
It's awesome.
Definitely. And just kind of that deep satisfaction that creative work mm-hmm. provides people. A lot of times people don't even know that they could or would even want to.
Yeah.
So I want to hear about that transition from dancer to like full-blown businesswoman. Mm. You decided to open your own studio.
What drove me to open the business is what I think a lot of people experience. It's like, I can't find what I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would go to other, once I wasn't dancing professionally all the time, I did keep, you know, moving in different creative outlets. And then I got back and I did teach group fitness from a very young, I did everything really young, as you see. Like my husband's always like, your 15 minutes of fame happened like in the 70s. I'm like, listen, I'm not that old. Hold on. But everything was really young for me. But I did teach group fitness when I was in high school.
Wow.
Too. And I taught group fitness at a modeling agency to wannabe models, mm-hmm. right? People who were training to be models and who were learning. And I really enjoyed it, and it let me use my creative, you know, abilities and the dance and the choreography and all that. And so I hadn't taught group fitness since then, and I was taking classes around here for my own fitness and wellness needs. And I just couldn't really find what I was looking for. I could find classes that I got a really good workout, but I just didn't get that experience.
Mm-hmm.
Or I would find the experience, but then, like, the workout was lacking. And I'm like, I'm sorry. There has to be a way to marry these two things.
Yeah.
I have to be able to get a great workout and leave feeling like completely full.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody has to be able to do this. And so it's like, I looked around, I was like, okay, and nobody's doing this right now. And so I was like, okay, so I guess I'm going to do it. There was also a lot of encouragement, I think, from friends, you know, they were like, oh, you should go and open up your own place. And I just remember that this was my response. Oh, and that's easy. That's exactly what I said. Oh, and that's easy. You know, and I just remember my friend being like, no, you should listen. You're like at different gyms and people follow you at different gyms. But if you belong to this gym, you can't go to that gym.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why don't you go somewhere neutral and have people just go there? And so I was like, well, maybe I will, you know, and it started yeah. with one class, like on a Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
And my 12, like, dedicated, I remember it was, like, terrible weather. It was snowing. It was February. My 12 friends were like, we're here. We're supporting you. A couple weeks later, there was, like, 18 people. A couple weeks later, there was, like, 22 people, 29 people. And I'm like, where are they coming from? But it was, like, people were also looking for the same thing yeah. I was looking for.
And yeah. word of mouth. Like me. Like, oh, come to this cool thing with me.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That's how we get most everybody to yeah. come. When your friend is like, listen, you have got to do this. People are like, all right, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of how it all started. I did not have a 5-year business plan. Mm-hmm. I did not think, oh, I'm going to become a businesswoman now, and I'm going to have a studio, and then I'm going to open a second studio. Like, there was nothing. It was a literal 1 foot in front of the other mm-hmm. as needed. Once we didn't fit in that original place, like, we don't even fit here anymore. And the woman's like, I think I'm going to close my doors. And I'm like, okay, so we don't fit here and we don't have a place here. So maybe we should start looking for somewhere else. And then we just looked for the next place. And then it just kind of gradually happened like that, kind of one decision after the other and always as needed. You know, I wish wow. I could have told you like, oh, this was totally thought out. I had a really good plan from the beginning. No, it was like, okay, we don't have a place, so let's find a new place. Oh, you know what? At this point, we're paying so much rent, we should just have like our own studio instead of renting out hours, mm-hmm. you know, in Newmarket. And so it was really kind of very organic.
And a lot of those folks that were in that first 12 are still here they today.
They are.
So much longer.
Know,
yeah.
I know. It is fun because we do ask people regularly kind of to honor their commitment, mm-hmm. you know, like how many people have been here for 5 years, 7 years, 8 years, 11 years. It's like the amount of hands. It's yeah. unbelievable.
It's awesome.
Yeah. It's a family. It definitely is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was that first like really hard thing you had to figure out how to do?
So, you know, because I was kind of like a one girl band, you know, and we operate still very lean. You know, I always call us like a girl punk band where it's like, you know, we do the choreography, we sell the tickets, we do the website,
yep.
you know, we talk to the press after. It's like the small group of us, we're kind of doing everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of the technical stuff, like, oh my gosh, I have to design a website. I don't do that. You know, I don't have a you know, and thankfully things have gotten easier, right, with all the templates and stuff. But 11 years ago was a little bit more complex. And, you know, it was like, I got to do all of this. I don't really know how to do that. I have to figure out, like, just how to establish myself as an LLC. You know, who do I have to talk to about this? What kind of, you know, government paperwork do I need to fill out? Like, those kind of things. I had no idea. It was literally figuring it out as I went along. And really determination. I'm kind of a very determined person, very driven. If I want it, I'm getting it. And so that drove me. It was like, I don't know what the heck I'm doing, but I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's kind of how this, what this podcast is like. Like, we're like, well, we don't know a thing about this. We're going to go do it.
And
we just, you know, hit all those steps to make it happen. And now here we are.
Absolutely. Yep. I mean, it's like you go big or go home, right? You guys should see the setup here. It is like fancy. We have like serious equipment going on.
Buttons and lights.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. These people are in it to win it.
We have some sound effects.
So great. Oh, yes. Yes.
We won't show you all of them. But we can program our own in there. It's really cool.
That is so good.
Yeah.
I love it.
We have an intro song. It's not that, but we do have an intro song and everything.
That is great. Okay, well, now I'm going to turn the question on you. What was the hardest thing to get started for you guys?
There was so much.
Well, I think we had the idea right from the beginning, and mapping out who did what was very organic and seamless. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm more of the techie person. You're going to handle more of the administration type jazz that I'm sick of doing. And like, it's good. So I do the editing and sort of all that stuff. For me, the scariest part was buying such expensive equipment and getting the correct stuff. We both had resources that we asked for guidance. Luckily, some very nice people helped us out with what they thought was good for our budget level. So that was scary, though, investing money where we're probably not going to ever make it back. It's not the point. It's just, it's a little dream that we just believe in so much, you know.
I love it. And then you just make it happen.
Yeah. Yes. And we have a list of like 50, 60 people. And every time we meet with someone, we get more names. Like, we're never going to get to them all. Like, it's just, it's crazy.
I know. You do have to step sometimes into the unknown and be like, okay.
Yeah.
Here we go.
I know.
With some faith and confidence.
Yeah.
Thank goodness for Google.
Seriously. Mm-hmm. Right?
It's really helpful.
What would we do without Google?
Yeah, I know. I wanted to ask you about, you opened for the Fitness Marshal.
Yes, that was so fun.
Oh, yeah. Laura and I were lucky enough to be there in person watching Angela before the Fitness Marshal.
That was something else, you know.
How did that come about?
Yes, that's a great question. So one of my clients, Victoria Arlen, who is a Paralympic swimmer, and she had a really serious situation when she was 11 years old. She got transverse myelitis, and she was paralyzed from the waist down. When she recovered from that, she literally was in a vegetative state for 3 years, woke up, and relearned how to do everything.
Wow.
Including swim, except without the use of her legs now because she was paralyzed from the waist down. So anyway, I've had the honor to work with Victoria since she was in a wheelchair, and now she walks, if you can believe it or not, but that's a story for a whole nother day.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Ow. Yes. So anyway, so Victoria and I have been working together many years, and Victoria is now living in LA, and she met Caleb Marshall one day. I think they met at church, actually. I have to confirm that. But anyway, she was like, oh my gosh, it's the Fitness Marshal. And I remember watching her Insta story and being like, oh my gosh, Victoria knows the Fitness Marshal. That's crazy. Wild. And so one day I'm at home and she sends me a text that says, hey, I was just wondering if you would open for the Fitness Marshal.
Yes. Okay.
And I'm like, I'm sorry, what?
Is it April Fool's?
Right.
What is going on? Are you serious?
And I was like, yes, but like, what? And so anyway, long story short, she had already said I would do it before I even said. So she was like, I was so glad that you said yes, because I already told him that you could.
Smart girl.
Right.
Yeah.
Thankfully, she sold me very well, because it was a blind, you know, hire. It was like, you're on, we'll see you this day, you know, which she really must have sold me well, because I would never hire anyone blind.
Yeah.
Like, it's my show.
Yeah.
So even the opener reflects, you know, who I am, right?
That's a huge risk for him.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. And so I just remember thinking like, all right, Yes. And so I texted my staff, my club cardio staff, right, who are the ones that are the dance fitness people. And I said, are you guys sitting down? And thankfully, they were like very close to their phones. You know when you have like really good news?
Yeah.
And like people don't answer.
Someone's
and you're just
at the
like,
dentist.
Exactly. Yeah. You're like, stop. You need to. Yeah. They were both. And they were like, yeah, what's going on? Yeah, what's going on? I said, you will never believe the text that I just got. And they were like, okay, now I'm really intrigued. What's happening? What is happening? And I was like, we just got asked to open for the fitness marshal. I will never delete that thread because it is so good. I mean, you could hear the excitement and like the disbelief through the, are you kidding me? What? What is happening? In what alternate universe are we living right now? So it was like part of the joy for me was to see and experience like how much fun they had with it, mm-hmm. right? Like for people who don't know, right, the fitness marshal, Caleb Marshall, is probably one of the most famous dance fitness instructors in the country. Mm-hmm. He has over 3 million subscribers to his YouTube channel. You know, he's very talented, very good at what he does. He has a huge following. I really love kind of his inclusivity of everybody's mm-hmm. a dancer. Mm-hmm. Everybody's welcome to join us. Different ages, different abilities, different body types, different everything. We're all dancers. And so I really connected with him on that. And I was like, this is so crazy. And so it was so fun. I was so glad you guys were there. Did you guys have fun?
Oh, my God. Yes. It was awesome.
Yes, we had a blast.
We kept joking because we kept telling friends like what we were doing. And they're like, you're going to a concert to work out? Like, I'm like, you have no idea. This is like, and I mean, besides knowing you, like that obviously was icing on the cake.
Right.
But like, I already loved him like as
yeah.
well. Like,
yeah.
I think he's so funny. Like his humor is what brought me to watch his videos and do his stuff because he's just so freaking funny. I love laughing when I'm working out. It's like, it makes it go faster.
Right.
It's easier.
He's very funny and then like borders on cheesy, which I also sort of like.
Yeah.
And he owns it.
Yeah.
I mean, like he knows that he is.
Oh,
he makes
fun of himself.
Makes fun of himself.
Yep.
I feel like he really understands the concept of exertainment,
mm-hmm.
right? Which we kind of alluded to before. It's like people are coming to work out, but they're here for an experience and they're here for some entertainment.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you have a boring instructor up on stage who's not really into it, like those classes are terrible. It's like I can't get out of a class like that fast enough.
Yeah. That's your exercise, running for the door.
Exactly, totally. So I feel like he has a good handle on the exertainment piece.
Yeah.
And he really knows how to work that. So
that was
a good time.
And thank you for doing your 2 free tickets
because
we got to bring our friends Jenna and Keaton with us who both loved it and had an amazing time and it was awesome. And I like bringing Keaton to those sorts of things. Like he comes here sometimes because you don't see many guys here. I think, that's a good way to mix it up, too, to make
Absolutely.
It a little more diverse, you know?
Absolutely, yes. You know, group fitness is traditionally, historically, like 97% female.
Mm-hmm.
And so we definitely are on trend for that here at the studio. But we do have our, like, 3 guys, you know?
Yeah.
And we do see personal training clients who are, you know, men who are personal training clients of ours. But we have found, and I think this is consistent throughout the fitness industry, that men prefer, like, a personal training mm-hmm. environment versus, like, a group fitness class. But we do have those few, Keaton being one of them, who we love, and, you know, several others who come and dance with us. And we're like, yes.
That's
I mean, it's
awesome.
Always a good time when they're here. They bring a different energy right there. Everybody brings something to the table. And so it's awesome to have them.
Going back to the fitness marshal, because I'm not done with that yet.
You're not done with the fitness marshal.
Can you just give us any tidbits of what it was like working with him and meeting him? I mean, was there much interaction or was it kind of like showtime, go, go, go?
No, you know what's funny? He's this big celebrity, this big personality, but he runs his operation just like we do. I have a girl punk band, and he has a girl punk band because he's got 2 girls that follow along with him. They do everything. They do the tickets. They do everything, and it's his partner, Cameron.
He was taking our jobs at the door.
I
was like, "That's Cameron. That's Cameron.
That's Cameron Mooney." Yeah.
Oh my gosh. No, kidding, really?
Yeah. And I whispered it. I whispered it to Jenna, and she's not as familiar with him, and she was like, "Okay." And I was like, "Well, it's cool because he's in his videos, and he's a funny dancer too." And
totally. So they run their operation like we do. It's very lean.
Mm-hmm.
They do their pre-production, post-production on all their videos. I mean, they don't have a team of people doing this, and so when we got there. They were doing their makeup, you know, yep. They were doing their stuff. We were actually getting the wristbands ready. It's like, I could totally relate,
yep.
You know, in the way that they run.
That's their, awesome their to business. Hear.
So it's like really cool. They were very mellow when we walked. He was like, I'm so happy you guys are here. We're so honored that you guys could open for us. And just like really nice.
That's
so
awesome.
Nice and very easygoing.
This really makes me like him more.
I right? know. Yeah.
Yeah. Afterwards, and I told my staff, I'm like, listen, we have one job. You know, he was really clear with what he needed. You need to warm up the crowd and rev them up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I told my dancers, I said, it doesn't matter how well we dance or how our great choreography is right now. We have one job and we have to be really clear that that's what it is. Because if we don't do that, we could be great dancers and have great choreography. But if we don't get the crowd revved up, we failed at our one task on mm-hmm. why we were hired to do this.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we brought our A game.
Oh, yes, you did. Yes, you
yeah,
did.
You did.
I was like, ah.
Yeah, we brought our A game, and Caleb was very sweet and generous after saying, you know, we do this a lot, and it was really nice to see. We could hear you guys in the green room. So I was uh-huh. like, all right, I think we did our job.
You checked the box.
Yeah, we checked the box. We got the job done.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, that was so fun. I didn't even know that that was the sort of thing that happened, a touring fitness yeah. concert experience, and it was awesome.
Yeah, totally. There are other people who do the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
And so really, you know, in this industry, it's like, how do you want to, and in anything really, how do you want to design your work? You know, I yeah. feel especially in this day and age, we have kind of the flexibility to be more hands-on with creating exactly what we want to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know my parents didn't have that amount of flexibility. My grandparents even less, you know, it was very designed in the box. This is what you do,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I feel like now it's like, oh, you're a dance fitness instructor? Oh, that's cool. Well, do you want to start touring the country
yeah.
and doing concerts?
Yeah.
You know, and that's what he's done. For me, it's like, oh, you're a dancer and a choreographer and you're into fitness and you've become a trainer. Do you want to open up a fitness studio? Yeah, I think I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and even with like Scotty Lego, you know,
yep.
totally something that I had never done before. You know, I had one of my clients, I used to train his dad. And he said, you know, I have a son who's an Olympic snowboarder. And I was like, get out.
And in your like, head, are you like, I probably won't recognize his name. Like,
yes, seriously.
It's probably not like an A-lister or anything.
Exactly. And so he's like, yeah, you know, Scotty Lego's my son. And I was like, oh my gosh, wow. We're talking like, you know, a bronze medalist yeah. in the Vancouver Olympics. And so he's like, he's looking for a trainer. And I was thinking, yeah, I'd be happy to help him find one. Like, I have some connections. Literally.
Yeah.
I mean, at the time, he was training with the Celtics trainer.
Mm-hmm.
But he was going down to Boston. He's from Seabrook. He was living in Hampton Falls at the time. And it was just too far. The fit wasn't perfect. And Mike was like, you should be the trainer. And I'm like, Mike, I have never even been on a snowboard before.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, oh, you know, why don't you just help this kid? I'm like, this guy's an Olympian.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
I'm sure that there are better resources than me. It was like, no, no, no. You know, kind of like a father's knows best. Like he just kind of knew it was going to happen.
He had a gut feeling.
He did. He had a gut feeling. That's exactly what he had. And so I said, listen, have him call me. Never did I think he was going to call me, ever. And all of a sudden, I have a voicemail. Hey, Angela, it's Scotty Lego. Listen, I was just talking to my dad. He says you're awesome, and I'd love to connect with you, see if we can get some training. And I'm like, what is happening right now?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And so I said, yeah, listen, why don't you come on in? We'll meet. At least I can help you decipher what the next steps are, like mm-hmm. how to get yourself, like, you know, the Olympics are coming in a couple of years. You have a, you know, a desire to get back onto the Olympic team. They only take 4 men in the country. There are things to be done, and I can maybe help you orchestrate that. I said, I don't think I'm the right person for you, but let's talk and I can help, you know. And it was a courtesy for Mike, who was my client too, mm-hmm. you know. And so as soon as he came here, we kind of did a little workout. We talked. He's like, you're it. You're the person. You're hired. And I'm like, no, wait, no. No. I'm not the right person for this job. I've never even been on a snowboard. I'm a girl from an island in the Caribbean. Okay? He was like, no, I'm looking for a trainer, but also a life coach. And I know that's kind of what you do. And I think mm-hmm. that this is a great fit. And I said, listen, give me like 3 weeks to think about this and to come up with a plan, because I would really need to prepare myself almost like to a doctorate level on something that I don't know anything about. I would feel terrible committing to you and not feel like I can deliver what you need. Mm-hmm. Give me some time to research. Like, who does board sports conditioning? What do they do? What does it look like? And so I spent a lot. I've never, ever in my life spent more time preparing for a career endeavor like I did to get ready to train Scotty Lego. I have a doctorate degree in board sports conditioning that I completely created myself. Because at that time, not a lot of people were doing it either.
Yeah. So that takes an immense amount of creativity, because you're building something from the ground up.
Yes.
You know, using slight, you know, maybe penciled in roadmaps.
That's exactly right. Yeah. That's exactly right. I got whatever I could get my hands on. And the rest I literally built from surfers and other board sports conditioning, skateboarders, like understanding the dynamics, understanding the mechanics, understanding the demands on the body when you're going up a half pipe, how you have to land, a lot of parkour athlete training we used so that he would absorb impact as he was riding into the, you know, in the pipe. It was just unbelievable. Wow. So there was definitely a lot of creativity and a lot of guts both.
Yeah. Have you since been on a snowboard for funsies?
I have been on a snowboard because, you know, at that point I was like traveling all around the world with the U.S. Olympic snowboard team and with the Nike snowboarding team. And I just remember thinking, like, I cannot believe that I can't get on a snowboard. You know, like, I can train Olympic level snowboarders, and I trained a couple of the other guys too. And I can't ride. Like, that's embarrassing. So I went to, like, my local Bunny Hill, bought a snowboard. And I was like, okay, this isn't – I feel like I could do this.
Yeah.
And so I did. I was able to do it. And, you know, I said I should be able to take my board around, because literally there would be times when we had practice. And we would go up to the pipe in a cap, for example. And I remember one time we were in Mount Hood, Oregon, and the cat was gone. The cat had left all the riders up there.
Oh,
I didn't have a board to get down the mountain.
Oh, no.
We were way, way up there. And so Scotty looks at me, he goes, all right, hop on.
No way.
And so I piggybacked the whole mountain.
There's a workout, right?
Totally. Like another human being.
Seriously. Oh, and we actually went into the pipe, too. He goes, all right, so I'm going to give you the whole experience. And I just remember, like, piggybacking on and going, this is total trust, you know. I'm like, this is a role reversal. Yeah. You have to trust me as your coach, that I'm doing the best that I know and that I'm fully prepared to trust you. And now I'm literally no helmet. My mother better not be listening to this podcast. No helmet, because I didn't think I was going to – I had nothing.
Right.
I was up there for practice, and we were, like, abandoned up there. And so I literally hopped on, and then we rode the whole pipe and rode all the way down the mountain. I was like a human backpack. It was insanity.
Oh, my gosh. Did you give them a hard time for abandoning you up there?
No. I just was like, so who? What? Where's the cat? You know?
Wow.
Once we're up there, like, our brain is somewhere else, you know, and everything requires so much focus, because every single trick is, you know, death-defying. And so our focus is, you know, I'm not watching for the cat or whatever. We're just
thinking safety and
totally
execution.
100%. And so it was just after, we're like, yeah, that's a wrap. So cool. How are we getting down? All right. Bye, everybody. I'm like, I don't have a board. So anyway, that was an experience for sure.
Wow. Yeah. Shifting gears completely. This is no segue here. Sorry. I'm trying to think of a goofy way to say it, but another component of the classes that I take here and that I think a lot of people are drawn to is the music.
Mm.
And obviously you can dance without music, but it pretty much goes in hand, you know?
Yes.
And would you like to talk about, you know, the kind of music you select, the diversity of it, you know, what's your favorite, you know, kind of where you're coming from, and have you always performed with such a vast variety?
So, you know, I'll tell you that the music selection is what takes us the longest.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
That is the hardest part about the creative process and developing the choreography that we do. I know every choreographer is different, right? And I know some people, you know, hear their dance like a melody, like they feel a couple steps and then they go looking for the music to see where they can insert that. I'm totally the opposite. I hear the music and kind of like, you know, when you would hear that Michelangelo would say that he would see the sculpture inside the stone. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel like the dance is inside the music. I just have to figure it out. Like I have to map it out. And so I feel like because of that, because the music is so integral in that process, it puts a lot of pressure in finding the exact perfect music that we want. And so there's definitely that listening with different set of ears mm-hmm. than we would when we're just kind of recreationally listening to music and bopping in the car. We're looking for a lot of things. We're looking for a certain BPM. We're looking for genre changes sometimes, which bring interest and texture mm-hmm. into the choreography. We're looking for something that has like a good beat that holds energy. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like not every song will do. So I spend countless hours combing. And then I want it to be recent and I want it to be, you know, I don't love going back to old stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I want like what is the music industry giving us today that I can work with? Right. So that's what I'm looking for, you know?
Because old songs can have associations in people's minds. So unless it's like an absolute hit that everyone in the world agrees on, you know, it right. can be a hit or miss probably.
Yeah, definitely. So we definitely spend a lot of time doing that. And, you know, I'll hear the song and I map it out in my brain. You know, it's both like a logical and creative mm-hmm. process, right? I'm sure you can, you know, relate as an artist Absolutely. To that, right? There's yeah. that hand in hand. It's like, okay, so technically I have this many, you know, verses and chorus and bridge and all this kind of stuff. But then it's like this right here, there's no doubt that that's a pas de bourrée. Mm-hmm. You know, there's yep. no doubt that there's a turn there. You know, it's right there. You can just feel it. You see it. It's, you know, that's what goes there. It's kind of that carving out. So, you know, without the good music, you just don't have the same experience. You know, I was interviewed one time for a magazine and they said, you know, what makes your studio different? And I said, we're a music-based studio. So music is not in the background, mm-hmm. kind of like playing like elevator music. It's actually a part of the experience. You know, we curate the music so that it enhances the experience. It is a part of it. And so, I would definitely say that that's, you know, a huge part of what we do to make the choreography really stellar.
And what kind of genres do you play?
Oh, we do a little bit of everything. You know, when we designed our club cardio class, the description is that it's like a club hopping experience throughout the world. Mm-hmm. So we want to feel like, oh, we just, you know, went to LA and we did like a studio track, but then we went to Buenos Aires and we did a tango, and then we went to, you know, a Rio and we did a samba, and then we went and we did some hip hop in New York. And so we literally Bhangra in yep. India. I mean, it's just, we'll do everything.
I love it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm a huge music person, so that's another huge check box for me is yeah. like really killer music and not just boring, you know, radio crap that's like, mm-hmm. you know, super cookie cutter. It's very dynamic and exciting and it pumps you up, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah. I feel for me, it's just an absolute must that the music is on point. It's just, you just can't kind of wing that. Mm-hmm. It just can't be sort of okay. It has to be, this is the song and these are the moves that are in that song mm-hmm. that we figured out.
That's you awesome. Know? I yeah. love the analogy that you're a sculptor pulling, mm-hmm. you know, pulling mm-hmm. out and seeing it within.
Yeah.
Do your instructors also do choreography?
They do. You know, years ago when we started doing this together, I thought, like, how do I open the door for their creative interests, mm-hmm. but not put a ton of pressure if they don't want to do it?
Right.
And so what I said is, listen, if you hear a song and you're like, I must choreograph this, you are welcome. Just let me know so I know that I have to do, you know, certain amount of songs for that month's, you know, launch or whatever. And so they have taken me up on it several times. You're like, this, I'm going to choreograph the song. I'm like, yes, you do that. You go for it. And honestly, some of my favorite tracks have been choreographed by some of my staff.
That's awesome.
I bring them back regularly and I always give them credit for it. This is not my track. This is, you yep. know, Ashley's track.
Yeah.
And so make sure that they get props for their creative work too.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Giving that's them awesome. The opportunity too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh. Definitely.
Rapid fire?
I think so, yeah. Yeah. So at the end of each podcast episode, we do something that is poorly named rapid fire questions because usually they're not rapid. We try to make them rapid, but conversation just...
Yes, it develops.
You know, ignites. But
ignites. That was a pun. Rapid fire.
Yeah.
Rapid fire!
Some of these are random and some are kind of on point.
Okay.
Favorite color?
Yellow.
Nice.
Favorite smell?
Citrus.
Nice. Ooh. Favorite taste?
Tart. Wow, favorite. There's a theme. I just realized this about myself.
Yellow, citrus, and tart.
Yeah.
Favorite texture?
Oh. Goodness, this is a question I've never thought of in my life. Favorite texture? Yeah, I would just say soft. Can I say soft, or does it have to be more?
I thought you say lemons or orange.
Yes, lemons.
No, that's fine too. That's fine.
Yes.
We've gotten such a huge array of answers.
On that. Yeah.
Favorite sound?
The orchestra warming up.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, that's such a good one. And you had that ready.
Because every time I go to the symphony, and I hear them warming up, and it's kind of these discordant notes, right? It's like nothing makes sense because everybody's doing their own thing. And there's so much potential in that moment. You know what's coming. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and everything's sounding different. You're like, oh my gosh, this is so exciting. I'm going to jump out of my seat right now.
That's really cool.
That's awesome.
And so I've always thought, I told my husband one time, I'm like, that's my favorite sound in the whole world. The orchestra warming up.
I love that answer.
Right?
That's a great answer.
Such a good answer. Most inspiring place you've ever traveled to?
New Zealand.
Ah.
New Zealand. I had the opportunity to go with the U.S. Olympic snowboard team. I spent about 2 weeks in Wanaka on the South Island. Ooh. And honestly, I cannot tell you the beauty of that place. It's like something I've never seen before. They filmed Lord of the Rings there. I don't know if you guys know that.
Yeah.
And Lord of the Rings looks like pretend beauty to me.
Yeah.
You just see the cinematography and you're just like, wow, that must be like all pretend.
I was going to make a joke and say, did you see any hobbits?
I know. I totally, totally. A lot of it was. I'm with you. I'm connected to you right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just remember like getting there and being like, I have never seen anything like this before.
Wow.
It's stunningly gorgeous. Stunning. Oh. Yes.
Yeah. It's on the list.
It's on the list. You should totally go.
Song you're listening to on repeat right now.
Mm. Oh my gosh, that's a hard one. I listen to so much music.
I know.
I have to tell you that I listen to so much music that sometimes I just need silence.
Oh, wow.
I'm not the only person that I know that's very music-based in their business or life that has said that. You know, it's like I'm constantly listening to music in a very focused way.
Mm-hmm.
That sometimes I'm just like, I can't hear anything right now.
It must be like a palate cleanse.
It is.
You know, to a chef who's always eating and tasting, you know, you just need to not taste things.
Yes,
you know?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
But I will tell you that usually what's on repeat for me is whatever my next concert is.
Oh, nice. Gearing up.
I gear up, again, kind of with that orchestra warming up. Like, there's so much in that, the moments before, that I think holds so much promise and potential and excitement. It's like planning a trip. It's like the planning is almost as much fun as the trip, right?
It is.
Do you agree?
Wow, this comes back every episode. I make spreadsheets for all of our vacations of all the cool stuff. Places to, like, there's a tab for places to eat and go out to drink. There's a place for museums, for art, for thrift store shopping, and for weird.
I love that. And don't you feel that when you're preparing that, you're like enjoying it, like if you were there.
Yes. It is as fun as the trip. Thank you.
Yes, yes. Which is why Friday is my favorite day of the week, because it's like the precursor to the weekend.
Yeah.
So I think I'm definitely in that precursor, like what's coming
That's
next.
That's your mode.
That's my mode.
I love
it's that. That high, like what's coming potential. Yeah. So what's on repeat is whatever my next concert is. So right now I'm going to go see G-Love tonight. So I have G-Love on repeat.
Nice.
I have Citizen Cope on Saturday. So Ooh. I'll have Citizen Cope on repeat. So that's what's on repeat.
Last movie you watched.
Last movie I watched was, hold on, it's coming to me. It's On the Basis of Sex. Have you heard that movie? I don't about the Supreme familiar. Court Justice
oh,
Ruth.
Yeah. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's
yes.
on my list. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was excellent.
Oh, it looks I loved good. It.
Yeah, it was really good. Mm-hmm. I don't watch a lot of movies, but usually when I'm on a plane, I'll catch up on my movies.
Nice.
And so I had a trip a couple of weeks ago that had me on there for a couple of hours, and I watched two back-to-back movies, and the last one I watched was that one. Very That's inspiring.
Awesome. Yeah,
really cool. Plus, I loved to see that, you know, we know about her politically, and we know about what she's done in her professional life, but it was really cool to see the behind-the-scenes personal mm-hmm. life story of her. So it was really cool.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And last question.
Okay.
What advice would you give young Angela if you took a DeLorean back to 1985 or whenever?
Yes. I think I would say, you know, trust your gut. Trust your gut, you know? Trust your gut because it's there. Mm-hmm. And so what you need to do is inside, I think, you know, what we have, the desires of our heart, I think are put there. And they are, you know, there for us to reach our potential and to be of service to others in our life. And so I would just say, just keep listening to your gut and keep moving forward.
That's really good advice.
That's awesome. That's good advice for everybody, not just young Angela.
Yes.
Awesome.
And so to close out this bad boy,
show us your creative guts.
Thank you so much to Angela for chatting with us. Your energy and your passion, it's just infectious. Listeners, you need to check out agfitness.net and follow AG Fitness on Facebook. You will see the class descriptions, the schedules for all the classes, and you'll get a boatload of inspiration from Angela herself and her students. She often posts things where her students are representing her swag in different parts of the world, and you can see that these people are so passionate about you know, expressing life with their bodies that they do it while they're on vacation in beautiful places. So it's just really fun to witness, and you should definitely check that out.
I'm following AG Fitness New Hampshire on Facebook right now as we speak.
Nice.
If you want to hear more from us, Creative Guts is available on all major podcast platforms, and you can also find Creative Guts on Facebook, where we're starting to get into the swing of sharing lots of cool things with you.
Yeah, we share a lot of content from our current guests and our future guests and our former guests, and we love the interaction. So if you like stuff, you know, definitely comment on it, and we like to have a dialogue with our listeners. Yeah, I guess.
Yep. Oh, can you guys not see me nodding?
I agree. Thanks again so much for listening, and we will see you next Wednesday. So much for listening, and we will see you next Wednesday.
Woo!
That's your go-to. You realize you did that. I'm not keeping those
I'm a
moves.
Woo girl.
Did you ever watch How I Met Your Mother?